from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to the Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to the Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble. Today I'll get a preview of this year's Risky Spirit and Place Festival.
I'll find out what's on the schedule for the 15th annual Ann Katz Festival of Books.
And I'll learn about the Eideldruggs Contemporary Art Fellowships, plus there'll be our calendar of events we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. This year's Spirit in Place Festival tackles the theme of risk. Sharon Gamble asked Spirit in Place Executive Director Pam Blevins-Hinkle to tell us about our community's reaction to the theme and about a brand new initiative that kicks off the festival.
Of all the themes of Spirit in Place through the years, I think this might be one of my favorite.
Fantastic.
So how did the theme of risk bubble up?
Well, our themes bubble up very organically. We actually have like a 9-point rubric that we look at when we think about what theme we're going to choose.
It's an Enneagram.
Yes, actually.
Sorry. So tell us about that.
Well, it's you know, we're looking for themes. The themes have to actually accomplish a lot. They have to be broad enough to provide a lot of doorways in, both for the public and for arts organizations and faith-based groups and civic groups, so they can be inspired to create some fantastic programming for the festival. But we're also looking at what's going on in the city, what's trending, what's buzzing, what are people doing. And we also look at the theme of the previous year. We want things to flow from one thing to another, since part of our objective is, you know, bringing people together and sparking ideas. When those things spark during the festival, we want the next year to have an opportunity for some of those fires or those conversations to keep going. So with our theme last year of play, certainly when we play, we're often taking risks when we're in that playful setting. So risk followed that very well. And we just thought it would be interesting to see how Indianapolis would express that theme.
It's intriguing because lots of times for lots of people, risk has 99% negative connotations.
Absolutely. There's one of the subtexts for risk is fear. You know, as we've talked to people about a risk, what it means for them personally, what sort of risks we need to take, it's both crisis and opportunity, and maybe too often we're living in the crisis side of that.
Right. And it's so interesting to see some of the sessions that talk about risk in the context. I mean, certainly all of the intersections are intriguing, but in particular, risk and faith seems to have generated some unusual sessions. Because if you think about it, believing is a risk and not believing is an equal risk.
Exactly. And we have a number of faith-based programs, too, that come to mind are the one featuring Rabbi Arthur Green, who wrote a book called Rethinking God, and he's going to do a program that looks at the spiritual life as an adventure, essentially, and what that means. And then another fascinating program is one called Leaving My Religion, which I have to say is filling up very fast.
Good.
And that we'll get to hear about the story of Jim Mulholland's journey from evangelical to progressive Christian to non-religious. So, and there will be a panel discussion at that, too. So, there are risks on many sides of that equation. And there's another program at Christian Theological Seminary that's going to look at the relationship between HIV/AIDS issue and community and congregations and the silence that surrounds some of that within our congregations.
Sure.
And so they're going to have a nice dynamic conversation around that.
So risk and age also is a theme that kind of jumps out.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as we get older, we face a lot of different kinds of risks.
Sure.
Health risks, physical risks. This IUPUI Senior Academy came up with a great program that will let people explore how we have to look at risk as we age and the kinds of choices we make and how we can live well.
Now, how about decision making? It feels like there's some sessions that deal with how much weight to give risk in decision making. Like, I'm thinking about the risk of knowing health risks, or maybe the conversation about the glass ceiling and about women and taking the risk to maybe advance their career.
Absolutely. In the area of health, and I'm blanking on what that title is for that program, but that particular program talks about, we now have so much information available to us about our health.
Yeah.
But is all that information a good thing? Should we be testing in advance for things? How does that impact our life and the decisions that we make? So yes, anytime we're looking at making a decision, we're weighing, not just for ourselves, but for our communities too, the what's at stake when we take those risks.
Sure.
And,
sure. If you're a parent or a child, do you want to know that you've inherited the chromosome for fill in the blank?
Exactly.
And if so, do you tell your parents or your children, depending on which generation you are?
Yes. Yeah. And there's a lot of ethical concerns around those kinds of topics.
Yeah. Public conversation this year?
Yes. Oh, it's going to be wonderful, of course, as it always is. And actually, the public conversation and the opening event together are doing something very strategic. In all the conversations I had in the community with people about risk, and as we're talking about the festival, we have this narrative going that Hoosiers are risk averse. And so we wanted our closing conversation, the public conversation, and the opening event to actually offer an alternative narrative and lift up Indiana and Hoosiers as a place where lots of risk-taking occurs. So the public conversation is going to feature four famous Hoosiers for whom risk-taking has worked very well. That is Scott Jones, the CEO and co-founder of Cha-Cha, and David Baker, the iconic jazz performer and educator from IU, and Sarah Fisher, race car driver and team owner, and Phil Gully, who is a Quaker minister and author. So those four people are going to have a spontaneous conversation around the role of risk in our individual and collective life. It'll be moderated by Kevin Armstrong. And then the
opening... You should explain who Kevin is, because he has an interesting perspective, too.
Kevin Armstrong is a wonderful man. He's the CEO of Methodist Hospital Foundation. He has also attended every single public conversation since 1996. He's moderated the last four or five, and he has served as the advisory board chair for Spirit in Place for a number of years, too.
And in a previous life, he was a minister.
He was the minister at North United Methodist
Church. I don't know. Are you ever a former minister? I guess you can be a former minister.
That's a good question. I don't think you are ever a former minister. He's a former settled minister, no longer a settled minister.
There you go.
So we're delighted that Kevin's moderating again, and people will have a chance to ask questions, too. Then the opening event is something new that we're doing. It's a risk that we are taking, actually.
Yay. Good for you.
Yes. Well, we didn't think we could ask everybody else in the community to take one and not take
do
one
do as we say,
ourselves.
Not as we do. Huh?
Exactly. So we were inspired to create an event that would stimulate new risk-taking and new innovating from the community. And we know at Spirit in Place that this community is teeming with good ideas. So we came up with this event that's called the 20K, a competition about race. And we invited individuals and nonprofits and anyone in the community to submit an original idea that was their unique take on how we might reshape notions of race in central Indiana, a topic that's risky, a conversation that a lot of people are afraid to take. And thankfully for us, we got support from the Scott Jones Foundation and the Race and Cultural Relations Leadership Network, and the IMA and KI New Media are all helping us to make this happen. We just passed the application deadline, and I'm was thrilled when we got 43 applications.
Wow.
And they are so creative. They run the gamut. There are projects from street art and murals to documentaries and films to neighborhood conversations. It's so imaginative. So I'll be very interested to see how our community judges choose those, and they will choose four who will present their idea on the stage at the Toby at the IMA on November 1st, and the judges will evaluate them, and the audience will have a chance to vote as well, and one person will win $20,000 to implement their idea.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited about both the opening and closing events and how they're going to show us that, yes, we are a people in Central Indiana who embrace positive risk-taking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have to imagine that you're getting more media inquiries than ever from other cities, especially with this year's theme and especially with the opening event you just described. Are people yet to the point where they're calling you and saying, we want to do a citywide event, series of events such as you're doing?
Yes. Usually those calls follow the festival when we get all the press coverage and people are like, wow, that's really neat. And I've gotten calls from Toledo and Minnesota and all over the country who want to know how we do this, because Spirit in Place is utterly unique in the nation. Lots of cities have arts and humanities festivals, but our grassroots model, which invites arts organizations and schools and civic organizations, social service, faith-based groups to create their own programming around a theme, is very unique. So the festival in this way becomes this very rich and deep expression of who we are as a city and also what we care about and what we want to be. You know, the festival is absolutely teeming with our aspirations as a community. And it's this rare stage to bring different kinds of people, different kinds of ideas together across all the various boundaries that we have to talk about or experience ideas that are important to us. And we know that a lot of exciting things are created out of the fertile soil of the festival. And that's why we do it. Our mission is to catalyze civic engagement through these unique collaborations between the arts, humanities, and religion.
Sharon Gamble, Spirit in Place Executive Director Pam Blevins-Hinkle. This year's festival runs through November 10th. Learn more and plan your journey at spiritandplace.org. And that includes the word and, spiritandplace.org.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. The annual ANCAPS Festival of Books and Arts at the JCC turns 15 this year, a true milestone for an event that has developed into a full-fledged three-week celebration of the arts. Author presentations, signings, and a book sale are still part of it, along with film screenings, an art exhibit, and performances. Travis DiNicola spoke with the JCC's Lev Rothenberg about the festival.
Lev, great to have you back in our studio.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Excellent. And we are right in the middle of, in fact, the first week of the ANCATS Festival of Books, 15th year. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it has really grown. It's so much of a great festival of authors and reading and a celebration of that. But it also, there's so much more now with art and music and performance. It's really become a great festival.
It's a real celebration. It's a three-week party.
It is. So here we are, and looking at, I know we this is airing after the opening of it, but there's still a lot going on over the next 2.5 weeks. What's the next thing that listeners should be aware of?
Well, Saturday evening, we have Indie Klez.
Mm-hmm.
And Indie Klez is just a great band. They play klezmer music, which is kind of a kind of an Eastern European jazz.
Yeah.
But they play it with verve and humor. And, of course, they've played around the city. They've played with Indie Fringe. And
yeah, I've heard these guys a couple times, and they're just really fun. You can tell they're having a really good time when they're playing.
Yeah, we're glad to have
them. You know, it's music that when you start listening to it, you know, it's impossible not to smile, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that's and all the events we're talking about are do take place at the JCC, right?
Exactly, yes.
Okay. And some are free, some have a fee. IndieClez?
IndieClez is $15 and $10 for JCC members.
Okay,
very It's one of our more expensive ones, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So so that's on Saturday night. Then what else do you have going on?
Well, Sunday...
Let's walk through the schedule here.
Great. Sunday afternoon, we've got just a great book called Tomatoes. And it's a cookbook, as you can imagine, and we will have a cooking demonstration. We'll have wonderful tomato food to taste and eat, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
The author is Miriam Rubin, who is well-known around the country.
Do you need reservations or tickets for that? Or
no, people can just come. I mean, they're certainly welcome to pre-register by calling or you know, going onto our website. But if they don't, they should just come along anyway.
Okay, and again, what time is Tomatoes on Sunday?
That's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, very good. What next?
Then we have something we've been doing for a couple of years, Story Time with Bubby and Zadie, where we invite all the little kids. And it's kind of intergenerational because we also have our senior citizens there. And we tell stories. We play guitar. That's kind of a fun thing. That's in the middle of the day. That's at noon.
Okay.
And then on Tuesday, we've got our big 15th anniversary celebration. And so we are bringing in the film, which is actually shown on WFYI, and it's sponsored by WFYI, called Broadway Musicals.
Okay.
And it's going to be fun. It's a great, fun film. We're going to have free cake. In fact, we're even having a musical cake contest where people are invited. They have to call us first, but they're invited to, you know, take their favorite musical or their favorite song and somehow put that into a cake.
Put it into a cake.
Yeah, and then people will vote on that.
I'm sure there's going to be some interesting ways of getting those cakes to play some music, too. But
well, that may be.
You never know. Oh, that's a fun idea.
Yeah, yeah, that be great.
Now, I know you also, on Monday night, do have an event that's sold out with author John Green.
That's
awesome
right.
that is sold out.
Yes.
And stuff. But he's such a great guy, and I know that the audiences will enjoy that enormously.
Yeah, he's actually a member of the JCC, so that just fits together. Perfectly, and that's
going to
be fun.
Yeah. What else do you have going on next week?
Well, on Thursday, we have Rabbi Arthur Green. This is a gentleman who, interestingly enough, in some ways actually changed my life with his writings. He is probably the preeminent expert on modern Jewish spirituality.
Okay.
And by Jewish, that's it's really pretty broad because it's for everybody, because this, the second sentence of his book basically says that as a religious person, I believe that the most important sacred task of humanity is the evolution of the human race. So it's kind of the idea of, you know, how do you fit spirituality and the modern concept together? You don't have to let go of one to go with the other.
Okay.
And how do you develop religion so that it, in a sense, encompasses everybody and it's to everybody's benefit? So he's written a new book called Radical Judaism.
Okay.
And that's going to be very – that's a Spirit in Place event also. So
oh, excellent. Nice tie-in with that as well.
Something for everybody, yeah.
Okay. And again, what time is that one on?
That's at 7 o'clock. Most of our programs are at 7.
Okay. Very good. And what next?
Well, on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and this is a great story, we've got a movie called Nikki's Family.
Yeah.
And it's about a gentleman, he wasn't a sir at the time, Nicholas Winton, who I think in like 1938 was a 29-year-old stockbroker in Prague, leading just a wonderful life, saw what was going on and arranged something called the Kinder Transport, arranged to have 695 Jewish children.
Wow.
Not only get them out of Czechoslovakia, but he had to find homes for them all in England.
Huh.
Now, this is a very uplifting film because it's really about the grown-ups who are now in their 70s.
Who were those
children?
Kids then? Wow.
And he's still alive. At the time of the movie, he was 99. Now he's 104.
That's amazing.
The amazing thing about this is I was talking to the festival about a group of our members, and one lady raised her hand and said, I would not be here if it wasn't for Nicholas Winton.
Wow.
And her husband was on the Kinder Transport, And her daughter, who lives in England, has lunch with Sir Nicholas Winton like every 2 weeks or so.
Well, that sounds like a great movie.
Yeah,
it's a great piece of history to learn more about.
And then we'll probably have Kirsten, who's the lady. She'll probably speak with us for a little bit about her experiences.
So very good.
That was really neat.
Yeah, I just got chills from you telling that story.
I know. When she told me that, I couldn't believe it.
Very good.
So that's, it's a very moving film.
And that's on Saturday night.
That's Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And then we come back on Monday with a really well-written book called What Do You Buy the Children of the Terrorist Who Tried to Kill Your Wife? And the title actually kind of explains the book. And, this gentleman's wife was in a terrorist attack in Israel.
Okay.
They moved back to the United States. She got over it, but he couldn't. And he found that the only way that he had a chance of getting over it was through reconciliation. And he discovered that they had caught the terrorist, and the terrorist had shown contrition for his actions. So a lot of the book's about him trying to communicate with the terrorist and meeting the terrorist's family.
And meeting the children of the terrorist.
Exactly. Yeah. Very interesting book, and hopefully a book that opens up a door of some hope for us all.
Yeah, well, and so many of the books and the authors that are chosen for the ANCATS Festival of Books really are about beginning some great dialogues and discussions, and very thought-provoking.
Yeah, we certainly try to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what else do you have on the schedule there?
Well, then we come back the next day on Tuesday, November 12th, with John Schwartz, who's written a book called Oddly Normal, One Family Struggle to Help Their Teenage Son Come to Terms with His Sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a family raising a gay son.
I've heard him interviewed before on the radio.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, really great speaker. Yeah,
he's a New York Times journalist, so I mean, he knows how to write, and it's very interesting. And so far it has a happy ending.
Yeah,
the son seems to be doing quite well once he came to terms with things, and the parents were very supportive. But it's a story for our times.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Then, on the 13th, and this is really fun, I'll explain how this happened. I received an email from a young lady who said, I and two other authors are award-winning novelists, and we're members of the JCC, and we want to do a panel discussion during Festival of Books and Arts.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, I needed to read the books first. And the books are outstanding.
So you've got, this is a great lineup. I'm very excited about this particular night. And I'm familiar with two of the three authors. You got Michael Daly as well as Ben Winters. I'm a big fan of both. And then the third author?
The third one is Allison Lynn, who is Michael Daly's wife. And they both moved from New York not too long ago.
Yeah.
And all three of the books are really very good. Michael's book is The Best of Youth. Allison's is called The Exiles.
Okay.
And Ben Winters, this is his second book in a trilogy. It's called Countdown City.
Yeah, part of the Last Policeman series.
Yeah, a detective story at the end of the world.
Yeah, they're just incredibly well written.
Exactly. And even if you don't like science fiction, these are really good books. They're not so much science fiction.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting sort of, with Ben Winter's work, kind of an interesting cross between sort of a science fiction setting without it being science fiction, and it's a mystery in many ways, but it goes beyond that as well. I mean, if you're a fan of either of those genres, you would certainly enjoy this, but you don't have to be either. I mean,
exactly.
It's just great writing. But that's really neat. So all three of them are members of the JCC and said, hey, we want to be a part of your book festival.
Yeah, and I'm honored because they allowed me to be the moderator.
That'll be great.
I'm going to have a lot of fun.
So you're going to enjoy that one.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
No, and is there a fee for that one? Is there?
Yes. Most of these are $8 and $5 for members.
Okay. So and again, that one's on the 13th, is that right?
Yes, Wednesday the 13th.
7 p.m. at the JCC.
7 o'clock.
Very cool. Very cool. And then you've got a couple more events that we'll get in here before we wrap this up.
On the 16th, we have, and we've done this for 3 years now, Heartland Film Festival award-winning shorts. The award-winning shorts from the festival that just finished. As you know, the Heartland Film people are wonderful. We've got a great partnership with them. So we're going to do that. We'll probably get to speak to some of the directors either in person or we'll Skype with them.
Okay.
And that's always a great night.
Yeah.
And then we close it out on Sunday, November 17th, with Matthew Levitt, who has written a very interesting book about Hezbollah.
Okay.
It's called Hezbollah, the Global Footprint of Lebanon's Party of God. And boy, there's a lot more to that than I realized. And he's an expert on the Mideast. You know, he's always writing in, you know, New York Times or the international papers. And so that's going to be very interesting also.
Now, you also have a book fair going on throughout all this?
Yes, during the whole time, you know, we've got hundreds of titles that we're selling. We are selling especially the titles of the authors that are going to be here.
Of course.
When you come, you not only get to hear the author, you can buy their book, and they're happy to sign it for you.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, it's just such a great event, and it's great to see how it has grown over the past 15 years. Really, you know, high quality. I mean, just, you know, writers and events that you have going on. Of course, people can get the whole schedule on the JCC website.
That's right, and that's www.jccindy.org.
Very good. Lev, always a pleasure to chat with you, especially about, I mean, there's always lots of great things going on at the JCC, but especially this this time of year when we have the ANCATS Festival of Books.
Thank you, Travis.
Travis DiNicola with the JCC's Lev Rothenberg. The ANCATS Festival of Books and Arts at the JCC runs through November 17th, and more information can be found at jccindy.org, jccindy.org. Trick or treat.
Sharon, you look so cute dressed up as a pussycat.
Meow. Typecasting, what can I say?
Is it a feather, though, when you're coming out? Okay, never mind.
Kitty's hungry.
Nice outfit. Well, happy Halloween.
Same to you. We're going to scare up some fun arts events that people can go into in the next week or so.
On the calendar we call...
What'll we boo?
So bad. I feel bad for people listening on Saturday morning.
I'm so sorry.
You know, it's like it's over. Okay, fine. Okay, well, I want to make sure people know about this great event coming up because it's a really cool exhibit that Christopher West of Christopher West Presents has put together, and it's coming up next weekend in Columbus, Indiana, and it's called Unconventional, and it's an exhibition of contemporary design and furniture that's opening up at the IU Center for Art and Design, which is located in downtown Columbus on Jackson Street, again in Columbus, Indiana. The opening is on Friday, November 8th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and it features a whole bunch of different artists and designers from Indiana, as well as Detroit and California and Chicago and the Netherlands. Some of the local designers and artists included are Glenn Fuller, Emily Knirk, Christopher Stewart, Colin Turry, and Lauren Zoll. This should be a really, really cool show. I've seen some preview information about it, and it will be pretty fantastic. Columbus is pretty lucky to have this show opening up down there. Definitely worth checking out.
Good deal. Hey, nothing scary about this. Booth Tarkington Civic Theater is presenting the 1940s Radio Hour for the first time at the Tarkington at the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel. It's complete with the sights and sounds of an era long gone, and it runs through Saturday, November 9th. It's based on the book by Walton Jones and an idea by Jones and Carol Lees, and it tells the story of a close-knit group of entertainers at the WOV radio station in New York about a year into the United States' involvement in World War II. In 1942, they're broadcasting the final holiday variety show for the troops overseas, and happy music and good times ensue, I'm just sure of it. So once again, that's going on at the Tarkington up at the Center for the Performing Arts through November 9th.
Very, very fun show. Definitely worth checking out. Hey, can't believe it, but it's time already for the Christmas Gift and Hobby Show at the State Fairgrounds. That is from November 6th to the 10th in the West Pavilion. Christmas Gift and Hobby Show, 6 to 10 at the West Pavilion. At the same time, if you get confused because you walk into the great Indy Pet Expo, that's in Exposition Hall. But, you know, why not go to both?
You could get Travis another cat for the holidays.
There you go. Like, I need another cat for the holidays. Hey, by the way, public skating is also now open at the State Fairgrounds.
I'm so excited. I want to go. I missed public skating for last winter.
Yeah.
Hey, not holiday related, neither Halloween nor the winter holidays, but the Ronin Chamber Ensemble celebrating its 30th season together, opening their season on Monday, November 4th at the Crystal DeHaan Fine Arts Center on the U Indy campus. with a concert that's free of charge, open to the public. It's titled From the Journal of Delacroix and will feature music
Delacroix.
That the artist wrote about in his journal, music of Bach, Chopin, Mozart, Donizetti, and others. There will also be dramatic readings from the journals, and, you know, always intriguing programming, the Run-In Chamber Ensemble. You can find out more or just show up on Monday, November 4th.
A play I'm looking forward to going to see very soon is Rancho Mirage at the Phoenix Theater. It is open now, running through November 24th. It is by a new play by Stephen Dietz, and basically it's a dinner party that's gone really, really, really wrong. A very ill-fated dinner party, dark comedy, and as Stephen Dietz asks, what connects us when our youth, our dreams, and our last bottle of wine are gone? Definitely this dinner party is filled with three couples who you probably either know or maybe you are, and it definitely it should be a lot of fun. I'll just leave it at that, but like I said, looking forward to seeing that.
It's me. Happy to be single. Oh, did I say that out loud?
At the Phoenix Theater.
The Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra's upcoming cabaret-style pops concert can be enjoyed on November 9th. It features electric harpist Deborah Henson Conant, who's very high-energy, highly regarded artist with an eclectic and original repertoire. And so that's coming up again on November 9th, the ICO with Deborah Henson Conant, cabaret style. Easy, relaxed, lots of fun.
So if you've been in the IUPUI University Library recently and wondered why there's a floating grilled cheese in the atrium, well, I'm here to tell you, it is actually some really cool art. It's a sculpture, a very playful sculpture, and it's sort of this cartoon-like image by artist Michael Helsley, and he chose his favorite comfort food, grilled cheese, and...
Where's the bowl of tomato soup?
Well, yeah,
and the
it
pickles.
Should be there, too. So it's you gotta kind of see it. It's a mobile type sculpture, and it was just recently installed, and the grilled cheese is kind of represented by five rocks and a bear. It'll make sense when you see it. But it's very, very cool. It's part of a new installation of their annual art competition at IUPUI at the library there, and of course, sponsored, through Heron School of Art and Design students. And, he was the winner this year. And so it's very fun. It's gonna be up there for 1 year, so you've got plenty of time to go check out the grilled cheese. Now, why the five rocks? The five rocks. No, Sharon.
This explains actually, why we got some of those comments during the recent membership drive,
well,
doesn't
the,
it?
The five rocks are supposed to represent the five stages of grief from, you know, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, denial, anger,
I'm
bargaining.
Sad because my grilled cheese is gone.
No, this is a very serious grilled cheese
I'm
here.
I'm sorry. I need to read the artist table
yeah,
before
so
I
anyway, you know what? We just need to go check it out, Sharon. I think we need a field trip to go check out the
big
grilled cheese.
Big old glass of milk.
Yep.
Taking it.
There
yeah.
we go. Mm-hmm. At the IUPUI library.
Sometimes I'm so happy that we're doing the radio show. Some of these things, we'd just lose so much if you had the picture.
That's right.
Hey, we were talking about the winter holidays. You can get a jump on winter holiday shopping while enjoying local wines. There is no connection between this and the artwork we were just talking about.
No.
I swear it. At the third annual art market at the Johnson County Museum in Franklin. This is coming up this Saturday, November 2nd from 10 to 5. It'll feature Central Indiana artists selling mm-hmm. their pottery, jewelry, paintings, fiber arts, prints, and photographs, and Mallow Run Winery, Yum, will be on hand selling wine by the glass to add to the leisurely atmosphere. So shop early and avoid the stress in mid-December.
Very good, very good. Hey, and Iliad continues through November 16th on the upper stage at the IRT. It's the one-person show. It's based on Homer's The Iliad, translated by Robert Fagles, and it features actor Henry Ronitz, and he is just fantastic from everything I've heard, and it's a great way, if you're not familiar with this Greek classic, this is a great way to get introduced, and performances again through November 16th.
The Arts Council of Indianapolis, in partnership with Clear Channel Outdoor, is looking for visual artists to submit images for a new citywide public art project, which will take existing or new artworks, print them in large-scale format to fit 14 by 48 feet billboards, and place them around the city on a rotating basis. If you're a visual artist and you just had visions of your art blown up to that giant size and on a billboard, go to indiearts.org and get more information. Warning, the deadline for submitting is coming up fast. It's Monday, November 11th, so indieart.org.
Well, if you have never heard Indianapolis native opera singer Angela Brown, maybe now is the time. She's an incredible singer and absolutely just a lovely lady, and she's doing a benefit concert for the hungry, and this is part of what's called the Interfaith Hunger Initiative, and it's in conjunction with St. Luke's United Methodist Church up on 86th Street, and they're doing this event to help end hunger in Indianapolis and also feed children in Africa, and it's taking place on Saturday, November 2nd at 7:30 p.m. in St. Luke's. Very professional, concert-worthy venue, and Angela Brown is going to be giving her voice to really just a wide variety of repertoire of songs, and it should be just a great evening. Definitely worth checking out. Again, if you've heard her, then you know how great she is. If you've never heard her before, definitely check this out. Tickets are $20 for adults, $12 for students, and you can get them at stlukesumc.com and get more information there as well about the Interfaith Hunger Initiative.
We started out the calendar with trick-or-treats. The next item is definitely a treat. It's a New Year's art retreat on January 4th from 9 to 5 at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Indianapolis. It's a relaxing day of creating art, and all levels of art experience are welcome. Workshops include vision board collages, goddess dolls, a knitting circle, and calligraphy, as well as they say in radio, much, much more. You can get more information at indianaartretreats.blogspot.com. Again, indianaartretreats.blogspot.com, coming up January 4th, 9 to 5.
Very cool. Sharon, last thing I've got, just a reminder that the show at IMOCA continues through November 16th, featuring the work of architect and designer Jan Rudenberg. I had his grandson, Van Rudenberg, on the show, Ves Van Rudenberg, a little bit ago, and talking about his grandfather's work. Really amazing stuff. If you haven't had a chance to get down to IMOCA in Fountain Square, the show is running through November 16th and is definitely worth checking out.
And speaking of unusual artists, don't forget you can now see Matisse Life in Color.
Oh, and it
at
is
the Indianapolis
so
Museum
beautiful.
Of Art.
What a great show. Worth going to twice.
Color. There you go.
Or even more than that.
And that's up through January 12th, so go early, go often.
There we go. And we'll be back next week with more things to do to go early and often, too, on the calendar we call
What do we do? Save us chocolate.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
On November 8th, the new class of Idle Drawer Contemporary Art Fellows will be introduced with an awards ceremony at the museum, followed by an equally boundary-expanding party. Sharon Gamble invited contemporary art curator Jennifer Complo McNutt to tell us about this class of fellows and what this fellowship means on a global level.
All right, you know this story from the get-go. Remind us of why the fellowships were created.
In 1999, the Idle Drawer Museum decided that we needed to do something to attract attention to Indianapolis, attract attention to the Idle Drawer, and provide some kind of support for Native artists. And with the support of the Lilly Endowment, we came up with the Idle Drawer Fellowship for Contemporary Native American Art. It's now called the Idle Drawer Contemporary Art Fellowship. It's a more contemporary title, and people know a little bit more about the program than they did to begin with. But we determined that one niche that we could fill was contemporary Native art by artists that were really doing things that were very avant-garde, doing things with installation, with film, with painting, doing things that maybe they were influenced, and they were influenced by their culture, by their traditions, by either living on the res or off the res and what that meant. But we're working in such a contemporary way, and yet we're not getting the same kind of attention as mainstream contemporary artists. And so...
Because?
Well, I always think it's racism, but, you know, that's what I think.
Yeah.
You know, and historically, in the United States for 200 years, that wouldn't be something that was real surprising.
Yeah.
It happens. So, anyway... We decided to really focus on Native contemporary art. This was something that needed attention. This was something that could help the Idlejorg stand out among the museums that were like us. And so we award five artists every other year, a $25,000 award. We do an exhibition, which is about to open November 8th. Mm-hmm. We do a catalog, award ceremony. This year we are doing a very happening contemporary arts party, Friday, November 8th, that I'll tell you about. And these artists are all chosen by their peers. They're chosen by selectors, curatorial types, both Native and non-Native. Uh-huh. So we get the best of the best. We also purchase over $100,000 worth of artwork for the permanent collection. And it's given us what our peers consider the greatest collection of contemporary art in the world.
Because there's really nothing comparable to these fellowships.
There is nothing comparable to the fellowships at all. And there are a few museums that do collect contemporary Native art. And we have some competition, but not a whole lot. And we want to create more. And we have created more. And when we started in 1999... the artists were still kind of alienated. As you move into 2000, into 2010, you see that more of the Native American artists are integrated into more mainstream exhibitions. Hmm. So really, what we've been trying to do, we really are doing, which is great.
Putting this art on the map with the rest of
contemporary art.
So... let's talk about the party first.
Okay.
Because you lit up when you said that.
That is a good segue, because one thing that has happened to the Idlejorg is when you say contemporary art, in Indianapolis, people don't think of the Idlejorg Museum. So we really needed to find a strategy of helping people in the contemporary art world, in our local and regional communities, understand that we really have an important contemporary program that they can be proud of and we want them to participate in. So we developed this contemporary arts party, and we contacted very successful local contemporary arts groups like IMOCA, like Cultural Cannibals, like Big Car, talked to people like Jeremy Ephraimson, lots of different individuals, and said, hey, what do you think we could do? And they said, you know, one thing you can do is have this party and we'll participate. And so, and we'll help you with the social media to help promote it to our audiences.
Sure.
And then they come over and they participate. No Stranger will be there doing some activities. We'll have A Tribe Called Red, which is a very well-known Native American musical group. Then we will have the 1491s, a comedy improv group. I'm glad you got it. You know, there'll be a lot of activities, a lot of music, a lot of food. Sun King will be there with beers. There'll be beer and wine tasting. You know, it's just a lot of fun, and it's really inexpensive. The larger awards program takes place from 5:30 to 7:30, and the contemporary arts party takes place from 7:38 to midnight.
So in an ideal world, people would attend both.
In an ideal world, people would attend both. But, you know, some people are going to enjoy that more formal situation where the artists are getting awards, which can be very emotional. It's a lovely, lovely program. And some people are going to be less comfortable in that situation. So I say do what makes you comfortable.
Do what feels right,
But it's $40 to come to the awards ceremony, and that includes the Contemporary Arts Party and the Spirit in Place activities the next day, mm-hmm. which I'll describe.
Sure.
But if you just want to come to the party, it's $10.
Oh, my gosh.
$10, and you get a lot for your money. It will be a cash bar. Everything isn't free, but there will be a lot of food and great entertainment and things to do, and you'll get to see the artists.
And a chance to talk with the artists, and most important of all, to see the art.
And to see the art. Yeah. And then in conjunction with Spirit in Place, Saturday, November 9th, we are having the artists do a tour from 10 to 12 in the morning, so the public can come and interact, and that's free with museum admission. And that'll be really interesting. The exhibition itself is big. There's a lot of artwork in it, over 100 pieces, so there's a lot to talk about. There's then at 1 o'clock, The 1491s are going to give a more formal presentation. They're going to tell you why they do what they do. They're going to talk to you about getting together and poking fun at the stereotypes that people have about them and about stereotypes they have about themselves and the kind of causes that they support, like stopping violence against women. So those are really important social issues to them. So it's a really rich weekend.
Yeah.
$10 and you get all that.
So you're sitting far enough away from me. You can't reach me to slap me for this because I'm not going to remember the artist's name. But one of my all-time favorite contemporary pieces that was done by one of your past fellows had these felted wool. It was a felted wool installation strewn across
Unbury
the floor
my heart.
With these hearts.
Unbury My Heart.
Unbury My Heart. Mm-hmm. And the artist was?
Shelley Nero, who's First Nations, because the fellowship is open to Native American artists living in the U.S., but also Indigenous people from Canada, because, of course, Native people don't adhere to the same kind of borders that our governments do.
Sure.
So, yes, Shelley Nero did that beautiful piece, and it is based on Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. Mm-hmm. And it's a very emotional piece about the 500 tribes and all the hearts are connected, talking about the connectivity between the cultures. Even if they are very different in their practices, they are very similar in their efforts to maintain their traditions, maintain their cultures. It is a very beautiful piece.
And part of why I bring it up is it was kind of a portal for me into looking at Native American art in a completely new way.
Uh-huh.
I was like, wow. This is so different.
Well, what's so interesting about contemporary Native art is that if you are a contemporary art fan or visionary or whatever, and you walk into the gallery, you're going to see some contemporary art that you find very stimulating. Oh, this is interesting. I like this. Then once you get a hint or two about the cultural background or maybe some personal experiences based on their culture that this artist represents, then that's another level of understanding. If oppositely, if you walk in and you're somebody that's familiar with Native culture, but you don't necessarily know anything about contemporary art, you might be able to hook on to an image that looks like something from the Northwest Coast or something that looks like basket weaving, and yet is done in a very contemporary way. So taking those traditions and reinterpreting them in new ways.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We can't talk in detail about each of these artists, but I have to ask you about the Minneapolis-based mixed media artist, Julia Buffalohead. And I assume this is from her own artist statement, that she challenges commonly held social conventions in the theater of the backyard bathroom and ambiguous landscape where animals play dress up, attend tea parties, and go diving in baby pools.
Exactly.
Can you say more about that? I'm just trying to picture.
She's a very interesting artist, and she's biracial. So she's had that issue to deal with growing up. She's kind of shy. So she struggled with being very social to begin with, add on a biracial life, and then she has all these Native politics and stereotypes about being a mother and stereotypes about being a good female that she finds very conflicting. So, for instance, you might see, and they look very sweet to begin with, but you might see a young girl standing in the bathroom with a cape on and a mask, and in the background is a clawfoot tub with a little ship representing Columbus, and then there's this very lovely bunny rabbit standing next to it, but the bunny rabbit has a hatchet.
Oh my goodness.
And the fox has a bow and arrow and it's pointed at the ship. So,
oh, wow.
So she really mixes this whole idea of domesticity and stereotypes and politics, and it's done in this very accessible area, your home, you know, it's done in the bathroom, it's done in the backyard. There's a baby wading pool, you know, that some of these things are taking place. So at first they're very, you know,
they look very innocent.
Yes, very fairy tale like. And then you're like, ooh, wow. Things aren't always what they seem.
Exactly, exactly. You mentioned basketry that isn't traditional basketry mm-hmm. a moment ago. Can we talk about
Shan Goshorn
for a moment?
I love Shan's work, and the selectors really thought she was a perfect representation of contemporary and traditional combined in just the right way. What she's done is she's taken traditional Cherokee weaving techniques, but instead of using traditional materials, she uses materials like prints of an encyclopedia's version of what Native life is.
Oh.
So they'll have some images of Native lifestyle and some historic kind of elements with it, and she will print those, cut them, weave them in this Cherokee way so that all the images are visible to you, the viewer. It's a very complicated, beautiful process, but they are incredible baskets.
Wow.
It is exciting.
Stunning.
It's exciting work.
Stunning.
Sharon Gamble with Idlejorg Museum Contemporary Art Curator Jennifer Compla McNutt. The big opening of RED, the Idlejorg Contemporary Art Fellowship exhibit, is Friday, November 8th. The awards ceremony is from 5:30 to 7:30, and the party is from 8 to midnight. Learn more about the fellows, the fellowship program, and how to celebrate these artists at idlejorg.org.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll chat with clarinetist Sean Goodman about her new CD.
I'll talk with Tim Hardy about Butler's Shakespeare program and an upcoming Romeo and Juliet production.
And I'll find out about a collaboration between the opera and the Italian Heritage Society to honor Verdi. Plus, there'll be our calendar of events we call What'll We Do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.